Bill, you know what that music means.
Time for Tech Tuesday.
Yes, and we have senior reporter for CNET News in Manhattan reporting on some stories today. Ben Fox Rubin joins us. Hey, Ben, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there's a headline here. Facebook expands local emergency alerts in the U.S. First of all, could you tell us what that is? I don't know what the Facebook emergency alerts are.
Yeah, so this is a program that they started last year with a with a handful of governments, where they provided a tool to any of these local governments or first responders that needed to get an alert out to folks, whether that's a winter storm alert or a missing persons alert or even perhaps an active shooter. So it's a way to let people know they're already on social media. This is a way to get the news out quickly to people that are local.
Can you decide, Ben, how many alerts and the severity of the alerts? Because on some people's phones, they do these Amber alerts, which I think is a great idea. But you can opt out of the alerts, can't you, if you wanted to?
I would think so. I haven't been able to play around with these tools too much because it's still, you know, kind of a smaller pilot effort at this point. But I would hope that they're not going to do something where they're just absolutely inundating people with alerts. Because I also know that, you know, anytime there's like a flash flood warning, there's like this very loud noise that just echoes through my open office.
Yeah.
Everybody gets it on their phone at the exact same time.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a good idea, and you can just click the window closed. It doesn't hurt to be aware of situations, but they have expanded it, so I'm curious to find out what is going to be included in that. Amber alerts for sure, any kind of security alert or gunman, I get that, but I'm curious about the other stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you, yeah.
All right. So another thing going on, I am subscribed to Yelp, and I find it pretty fun to look at the reviews of a restaurant. You have to keep in mind, that sometimes people have a bone to pick with the restaurant, so they'll leave a bad review. But now if you have dietary restrictions, there's a new feature.
Yeah. So this is actually a pretty broad personalization feature that they're adding in. And they're hoping that, you know, here's Facebook again. They're hoping to better compete against Facebook and also Google, as they've offered a lot more local information for their users. So Yelp is a much, much smaller company. So they're hoping to drill down on personalization, which means that if you're vegetarian, if you're gluten-free, if you're halal, you'd be able to narrow down your selections as far as that's concerned. You can also tell Yelp, oh, I like pizza, or I'm specifically into Chinese food. So that way, you're not just looking at all of their top-rated stuff. You're also looking at stuff that's been specifically personalized to you that you told them that you like.
I like that because sometimes, you know, it's a big time suck. I can spend an hour on Yelp looking at reviews of places.
You've done that for an hour? Wow.
I really can find great ways to waste my time. I really can.
I usually go when I'm hungry, so yeah, I don't have an hour to spend.
I know, maybe not a full hour, but sometimes you get sucked into the rabbit hole where you're looking at one restaurant and then someone mentions another, so you look that up. Do you guys base your decision based on Yelp reviews, either of you?
I never have, Ben. You?
I have used Yelp quite a bit. I actually like Yelp more than the Google reviews, but I completely agree with you as far as the fact that there are a lot of people that specifically go on that site and on TripAdvisor just to complain. I understand folks have negative experiences sometimes, but it does bother me where sometimes those can sometimes overwhelm a perfectly good restaurant and give people the wrong impression of a place.
And sometimes you will actually see the restaurant respond saying, you know, why didn't you let us know and give us a chance to fix it? And really, that's what your first line of defense should be, is bring it up to the restaurant and give them a chance to fix it. I agree.
Absolutely.
All right, self-driving cars. We have been talking about these for how long? I don't like the idea. I'm not going to get in one of those. But now with the new network, the 5G network coming, is it really going to make it smarter and better?
We'll see. This is a really, really long process. And I was really excited to talk about this specific topic. It's called CV2X, which means communication with a vehicle, and X meaning anything else. And it's this really, really big concept in vehicles, where you would have sensors that you add into basically every single vehicle on the road, and light posts and traffic lights, and maybe even the road itself. to let everything communicate with everything else. It's like this big smart city concept that the cars would be able to communicate amongst each other to avoid accidents. Cars could even look around corners, you know, in theory, look around corners. But the big problem here is, you know how complicated it would be to actually put together this type of thing? It would take years and years if it were to ever come about.
Ben, another factor is what happens to cars that don't have the technology, to older cars? How do they synchronize in with the cars that do have the technology?
Exactly. And I don't have an answer to that. That's a really hard question to answer. Yeah. So Ford, for instance, has already started developing CV2X in their cars. So they're hoping, like, hey, at least if we get started with this, we'll get the ball rolling and see what happens. But you can imagine how many different stakeholders have to be included for something like this. But I don't need to tell you guys as far as how many fatalities there are on the road every year. So this is a really big kind of like home run concept to try to substantially reduce the number of injuries and fatalities that happen on the road. And you would still be driving your car.
Right.
Maybe eventually it would shift to self-driving cars, but it would just make them way, way safer than they currently are.
I have the feature on our car, I think, because I've never used it. Bill, you have it as well, where it will park the car for you.
Yeah.
And I thought you told me that, you know, typically when you're parallel parking, you pull up pretty much
parallel to the car in front
of you, yeah, and then you back in. But yeah, with this particular thing, it does it front ways.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried it? Because I can't even give up control to let it do it on its own.
I test drove a car for 2 weeks that had it, and I was reluctant to try it, which is ridiculous because that's the best way to learn about it. But I was so afraid that something was going,
yes,
to happen, I couldn't use it.
Yeah. So if we feel this way, and I can't speak for you, Ben, if you've actually let a car park itself, but if we can't give in to that, how are we going to be able to give in to all the other stuff?
I haven't, and I'm totally jealous that you've even tried cars that parallel park, because parallel parking is a huge pain.
Yeah.
But I don't even use cruise control. I'm not even willing to like put my foot off of the gas when I'm on the highway for really long rides. So
right.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. But at the same time, I think this could be a really cool safety concept. But I hopefully I've explained it well enough that this is pretty pie in the sky, and it might take a really long time to get here, if it ever does.
Like, how long are we talking?
Oh, geez.
September?
September.
Oh.
I think Elon Musk, no, Elon Musk specifically said it takes about 20 years for every car on the road to overhaul to a new car. Like, the upgrade cycle,
yeah,
takes something like 2 decades.
Oh,
so you can imagine 2 decades is the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And not every manufacturer is putting this into their vehicles. So it could take decades, for sure.
All right, I feel better. You cheered me up, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and
the
also,
future isn't coming that quickly.
All right.
Thank God. And even, you know, just one comment on the cruise control. I have tried to use it, but it takes you out of driving a car. If your foot's not, like, down there on the gas, I sometimes forgot I was behind the wheel, so I don't know. I guess people use it a lot. I don't know if you do, Bill.
Every now and then, but I don't go out of my way.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I like to do it all myself,
yes,
so I'm not going to partake in this.
Yeah.
Ben, thank you so much for keeping us up to date on what's going on a Tech Tuesday. He is a senior reporter for CNET News in Manhattan, Ben Fox Rubin. You can find him at CNET.com. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.